Blog Talk Radio.
March 10th, 2011, Washington, D.C., planet Earth, the third planet from the sun. It's me, I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones of the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Show. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. The toll-free number for all you folks who don't want to pay, it's 877-666-9305. I tell you what, I have a new hero. I have a new hero to add to my heroes list, and that's a very short list. His name is Scott Walker, Republican, Wisconsin governor. You know, it takes a lot of guts. I mean, it takes a man. It takes a lot of guts to say, you know what? To a lot of you folks, what I'm about to do is unpopular. And I know there's going to be lots of resistance. And I'm aware that there'll be protests and marches, and I'll be called every name but the child of God, and folks will camp out on my lawn and threaten my wife and children. But you know what? I'm going to do what's best for the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to do what's best for the long run, not for the short run, not for instant gratification. I'm going to do what's best for my state regardless. Consequences be damned. That's a man. That's a leader. He's going to do. He is doing what's best for his state. The state, the great state of Wisconsin. And I'm so proud of him. Because in my mind, Governor Walker is a symbol. A symbol, indeed, dare I say it, a beacon of hope for this country. It says to me that there is hope, that there is still sanity. Somewhere in this once great and mighty country of ours, there is still sanity. Sanity prevails somewhere. There is still a love of country. with just a handful of our elected officials. We've got so much going on. Utah is considering returning to gold and silver coins. It's been nearly 80 years since the U.S. stopped using gold coins as legal currency, and nearly 40 since the world abandoned the gold standard. But the precious metal could make a comeback in the United States, beginning in Utah, and why is that? Could it be? Well, all of these things coincide with the presidency of His Majesty, His Holiness, President Barack Hussein Obama. The Utah House was to vote as early as today on legalization that would recognize gold and silver coins issued by the federal government as legal currency in the state. The coins, now, they wouldn't replace paper money, but would be used and accepted voluntarily as an alternative, I suggest, that it's going to replace paper money in a lot of places in Utah. The legislation, which has, 12, 13 co-sponsors, would let Utahans, yes, I said it right, pay their taxes with gold, and also calls for a committee to study alternative currencies for the state. It would also exempt the sale of gold from the state capital gains tax. Wow. Would we have thought that something like this would occur under Reagan? Under either Bush? Or maybe even under Clinton? Nope. Barack Obama got a whole lot of people worried and concerned about the future. The future of this great country. What was the guy thinking? You know, I talk about this fool every single night that I'm on the radio, and I'm getting sick and tired of talking about him and saying his name, but people are worried. People are concerned. Americans are really, really concerned about what this guy's bringing to the table, or rather, what he's taken away. So many wild and crazy things are happening. Well, this guy is our president. It's getting out of hand. It really is. I gotta tell you what. I'm deeply, deeply concerned about where we're headed. Because Obama promised a new era. A new era of what? Post-partisanship. But in office, he's played racial politics. He's divided the country between the so-called haves and have-nots. He's basically split the country along class and party lines. During the election campaign, though, there was a different story. Obama sought to appeal, or suggested that he would appeal to the best instincts of America, to a post-partisan sentiment that he said would reinvigorate our democracy. He ran on a platform of reconciliation. Doesn't it sound that way to you? Is what we saw today and yesterday in Wisconsin seem like reconciliation? A cut away for a moment. I wonder if Tea Party rallies were conducted in such a fashion during the healthcare debate, I wonder. I wonder how the media would have treated that. Because it seems to me that the media is pretty much ignoring what's going on in Wisconsin as it relates to the very bad behavior going on there. And no, the mainstream media is making excuses and covering up the poor behavior and providing reasons as to why those poor, innocent, $75,000 a year bus drivers, $120,000 a year school teachers are misbehaving and threatening and having to be dragged out by their feet out of the Capitol, storming the Capitol, using handcuffs to lock themselves in. Let's go back a year. Let's go back a year and a half. I have personally attended numerous Tea Party rallies in Georgia, in D.C., in Florida. Peaceful, quiet. A few speakers here and there, some famous, some not so famous. The rallies begin peacefully and they end peacefully. Not one single incident. But flash back to Obama's inauguration day. It was a hopeful day. With an estimated 1.8 million people on the National Mall celebrating the election of America's first African-American president. And the level of enthusiasm, the anticipation, and the promise of something better could not have been more palpable. And yet, look at where we are today. Today, the world is at each other's throats. All the world over, and here in the United States, with what's going on in Wisconsin and Ohio and other states. Obama's promise has not been realized, but was there any doubt? Not at all. Rather than being a unifier, Mr. Obama has divided America on the basis of race, class, and partisanship. Moreover, his cynical approach to governance has encouraged his allies to pursue a similar strategy of radical, divisive politics on the president's behalf. We've seen the divisive approach under Republican presidents as well. We need to be fair here. Particularly the administration of Richard Nixon and George W. Bush. And it was wrong then. And it's wrong right now. By dividing America, Mr. Obama has brought our government to the brink of a crisis of legitimacy. He has compromised our ability to address our most important policy issues. We say this with a heavy heart. We do. We do. And by we, I mean Americans everywhere who agree with me. The struggle for equal rights has brought us to the point where we were able to elect a black man as president. And then dude gets in office and stinks up the place all to be damned. And it's a sad day. the first hint that a black man, President Obama, would be willing to inject race into the political dialogue came last July. Was it last July? It was a while ago. When he jumped to conclusions about the confrontation between Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates, a personal friend of mine, by the way. I call him Skip. It's his nickname. Yeah, I dropped that name, sure. Between Gates and the Cambridge police. And as you well know, during a press conference, the president said that, and I quote, "the Cambridge police acted stupidly," end quote. It was Obama who acted stupidly by opening his mouth before engaging his brain. And he went on to link the arrest with a long history. I wrote down this right here on a piece of paper. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. And he went on to link the arrest with the, quote, "long history in this country of African Americans and Latinos being stopped by law enforcement disproportionately." What the hell did Latinos have to do with that incident? But in truth, the Gates incident appeared to have had nothing to do with race. None. But Obama had to throw it out there. Because he's stupid, but he's no fool. A Cambridge review committee that investigated the incident ruled on June 30th of that year that there was fault on both sides. And then later on, Senator John Kyle said the president told him in a closed-door meeting that he would not move to secure the border with Mexico unless and until Congress reached a breakthrough on comprehensive immigration reform. Another indication that Mr. Obama is willing to continue to play politics with hot-button issues, thus probably having blood on his hands as a result. But that doesn't matter. He can explain that away. It's not his fault, after all. Border agents being shot at, families living on the border being attacked, beheadings all over the place, hands chopped off, feet, killings, murders. But Obama's just going to let it all slide because he wants comprehensive reform. Forget about securing the borders right here and right now. No big deal. And then, of course, let's throw in the biggie. No, not the health care law. We'll get to that. But that's not part of what's dividing the country at this very moment, because that's being dealt with. Add in the lawsuit against the Arizona immigration law. And it's clear from that the Obama administration is willing to run the risk of dividing the American people along racial and ethnic lines in order to mobilize his supporters, particularly Hispanic voters, whose backing he needs for 2012. And beyond. As the Washington Post reported, two top White House strategists speaking on condition of anonymity and no anonymity have indicated that the White House plans to use the immigration debate to punish the GOP and aggressively seek the Latino vote in 2012. I think it's all going to backfire on the young fool. On an issue that has gotten much less attention, the Justice Department decided that they were not going to punish those creepy-looking black dudes with the dreads and the dirty-looking outfits standing in front of the polls on Election Day in 2008 because Holder said that to do so would demean his people. Just keep piling it on, guys. I love it when you do. And why do I love it? Because the American people get to see what your mindset really is and what you're really all about. And if you keep on making these stupid mistakes and doing all these really dumb things, well, 2012 is just what's less than 2 years away. Yes, the American people have short memories and are willing to forgive. It's one of our faults. It's a blessing and a curse of the American mindset. But the more mistakes are made, well, the longer the memory gets. During the 2008 presidential campaign, Mr. Obama's campaign emphasized repeatedly that his minister, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, was being unfairly stereotyped because of racially incendiary sound bites that allegedly did not reflect the totality of his views. Are you kidding? In the Gates incident and others, Mr. Obama has resorted to similar forms of stereotyping. Even the former head of the Civil Rights Commission, Mary Frances Berry, acknowledged that the Obama administration has taken to polarizing America around the issue of race as a means of diverting attention away from other issues, saying that the charge of racism is proven to be an effective strategy for Democrats. Having one's opponent rebut charges of racism is far better than discussing joblessness. Indeed, I've had a couple of friends complain to me numerous times. I mean, it's happened numerous times over the years, but more recently, I've had a friend say, I've been called into my manager's office or my publisher's office, and they wanted to discuss my work product. I think I'm doing a wonderful job, and I think that this person is racist, that it's about racism, and you can see it all over the office. They're just racist. And, of course, I have to come clean, because when we're friends, we can talk. And I say, no, you know what? You cry in racism all the time. Could it be that you pretty much suck at your job? You're not doing a very good job? Because here you are sitting here with me, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And our lunch started at 12. Perhaps if you were sitting at your desk or in your office doing your job, he wouldn't call you in the office to discuss your poor work product. You're having a 2.5-hour lunch with me. Shouldn't you be, like, working? But no, the cries of racism as an excuse for being mediocre. Now it seems the White House itself uses that excuse. They suck all to be damned. The health care debacle, the fiasco, talk about it. And Janine Garofalo from Criminal Minds, the new Criminal Minds show that I've been watching today, I watched all 4 episodes, she said, it's not about the health care law. It's about disrespecting a black man. She actually said it just like that, too. He's a black man. Okay, so now we have 1,000-plus waivers. The whole state of Maine got a waiver. Waiver, 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 waiver. We find out that there's been some double, triple counting going on. Hundreds of billions of dollars hidden in the cost to be paid out for this monstrosity. But no, Obama's It's not about Obama's health care law that sucks so bad, that has the whole country in an uproar, dividing the country even further. No, it's because we're complaining because he's a black man. It's not his fault. He's black. We're not really disagreeing about his policies. It's not about his policies. It's because he's a black man. And I, being a black man myself, well, I don't agree with Obama, according to some, because I'm a self-hating black man. I don't like the fact that I'm black, according to some. So that's the reason why I don't like Obama, because he's black. And I don't like black folks. I don't like myself because I'm black. So that's why I don't agree with him, according to many of my former friends. Some have said that that my dislike for Obama is representative of the crab in the barrel theory. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with this theory, it's a black thing, and it suggests it comes from times in slavery, where black man would see another black man or black woman or a group of black folks, whatever, what have you, moving on up like George and Wheezy, and we'd be jealous. So we'll seek to tear that person down, or to bring them down back to our level, because we're jealous, because we're self-hating. Hence the crab in the barrel. If you get a whole bunch of crabs in the barrel, blue crab, I hope. My mouth is watering just thinking about it. Getting some blue crab in the barrel, a big barrel, you'll see that there are crab trying to climb out of the barrel. But you'll see that there are other crab trying to climb out of the barrel, too, on the backs of the crab that are trying to climb out, thus pulling the crabs back down deeper into the barrel. Hence, nobody gets out of the barrel. They just go into the pot. Crab in the barrel. So I have been accused of engaging in the crab in the barrel theory because Obama is a black man. I am a black man. I should be supporting President Obama because we're both black. Never mind that he's a disruption, not to the country itself, but to the whole world. Never mind that his policies are pretty much destroying this great country. Never mind that he's driving us into bankruptcy. Never mind that my children and my grandchildren are going to suffer greatly because he's president. No, wait. Some are going to say that my children, because they are black, that they're going to benefit as a result of Obama being a president, because now they'll be looked upon and taken more seriously because we have a black president. So now that elevates, somehow supposed to elevate our stature in the world view and in American view, because, hey, if we can have a black man as a president, then there ain't nothing we can do. And white folks have to respect us now. I tell you what. You think I'm kidding around here. You think I'm joking. But this is the types of conversations that these folks have. This is the mindset that they have. That because you're black, and because Obama is black, then I'm supposed to kiss his ass and agree with everything he says and does and support him. No, that whole content of his character, nope. The you know, the things he does, like deeds, good stuff for not blue states, not red states, not black folks, not Hispanics, not white folks, but all people. No. He's a black man. And if I look at my skin, it's a nice golden brown, too. That makes us blood brothers. Obama's my brother, and I got to stand up for him. Even if he is dragging me down along with my family for generations to come and destroying my great nation that my black ancestors helped to build, fought in wars and died to help build this great nation. But we got a black man in office who's going to just screw it all up, going to destroy the whole system. But no. Just be cool. Be cool, brother. He's a black man just like you. We all black. It reminds me of an Eddie Murphy skit on Saturday Night Live where Eddie gets himself all made up into a white guy. I mean, he has the makeup done, the hair, the wig on, and he's got a whole lot of paint on him. And he's a white guy, and he decides to go out into the world as a white guy to see what it's like to be white. And he discovers that there's this club, a white folks club, where when there's nobody else around, and they're just white folks, well, they party and have a good time, and they give things to each other for free. He walks into a newspaper stand and pulls out some coins to pay for a newspaper, and the white guy says, hey, what are you doing? Hey, put that away. Here, it's yours. You can have it for free. And Eddie's like looking around, and he's like, for free? Really? He says, yeah, nobody can see. Nobody sees. Go ahead, take it. So it's like that club now where we have a black president and it's all free. Go ahead, take it. It's free. Just as long as you stand by your black president. No matter he's going through your pockets, taking out all your jack so he can spread it around. And the redistribution of wealth. Never mind that gas prices are sky high. And even in Walmart, where I shop to buy my groceries, prices are skyrocketing. I might as well head over to Publix now. Or Winn-Dixie. Or Kroger. Why take that extra drive to Walmart now? Because Obama has caused prices even at Walmart to necessarily skyrocket. Gas is exorbitant. I got a long drive ahead of me next week. I don't relish it now because my gas is going to cost too much. But hey, it's cool. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. He's black. We can take a little pain. It's no big deal. Because now I guess all I have to do really is drive up to the gas station. And maybe if there's like a black person behind the counter, I can just wink at him. And he'll say, "Gay, hey, it's cool. Go ahead and get some of that gas. Haven't you heard? We have a black president in office. Take it. It's free." And maybe the next time I go into Walmart, perhaps I'll be lucky enough to have a black checkout person. And she'll say, hey, what are you doing? Put your wallet away. Nobody can see. Haven't you heard? The president is black. You take those groceries. Get on out of here. The hell is wrong with you, fool? We have a black president in office. You ain't got to pay for nothing. Get out of here. See? So I guess when all my friends who have abandoned me for not supporting a black man, I guess I had it coming. Because I'm not getting any free gas. And my yogurt over at Walmart is gone to 50 cents when it was 44. And my coffee, my espresso, the price of my espresso has necessarily skyrocketed. My gas is high. I guess this is the price I pay because I'm not black enough. I'm not black enough. I'm not black enough because I don't support the black man in office. Yeah. The president has had a unique opportunity. Unique. To focus on overreaching issues. Issues important to whites and blacks. And he has failed to address the critical challenges laid before him. He has not used his bully pulpit to emphasize the importance of racial unity and the common interest of poor whites and blacks who need job training, job opportunities, and the possibility to realize the American dream. No. Not that new American dream. No. Not the new American dream where everybody gets a free house and a free car and they don't have to worry about their gas being paid for or their mortgage or, you know, all of that. No. Not that American dream. No, I'm talking about the American dream where people everywhere go to work. And work hard and get jobs and pay for their own gas and their own mortgage, not like this lady right here.
Peggy Joseph took her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment. Because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's where I've fallen short. Because I had to pay my mortgage this month. Today I had to put gas in my car and pay for it myself. I had to pay my own car insurance. I guess that's the price you pay when you don't support your own kind. Because apparently this lady, the lady that I just played there, she's getting all her stuff for free. She's getting her stuff for free. Oh, my gosh. Get your stuff for free and support a black man.
I made my own sign. I made my own sign. I don't need Obama to be president?
Us, man. We tired of the same shit. Republicans been talking about what they gonna do. The Republicans have been talking about what they gonna do. They ain't did shit yet, so why not try something new? Same way and expect different results, right?
Okay.
So I'm not crazy. You crazy? You crazy?
No, I'm not crazy.
Go Barack, baby. Go Barack. You see this right here?
Are you voting for Barack based on race?
No, I'm voting for Barack. And that's it.
Well, you just pointed at your skin as to say that you're black. Right, but and plus what I'm saying is, are you voting for Barack based on?
That'd be one of the main.
How embarrassing. How embarrassing is that? Now, I guess I'd be an uppity Negro if I suggested that these folks are stupid and dumb and having a very difficult time speaking English and articulating. I guess that will make me uppity. Bourgeois. To suggest that the low-rent person I'm watching here on YouTube with her own homemade sign mangling the English language and expecting something for nothing, well, I guess that makes me a sellout. What else have we got here? Check this out.
Audio sound bites this week. Here's a portion of Ken Rogolsky reporting on WJR in Michigan. Two people here in line for Obama cash.
Why are you here?
To get the money.
What kind of money?
Obama money.
Where's it coming from?
Obama.
And where did Obama get it?
I don't know. It's fast. I don't know. I don't know where he got it from. But he's giving it to us. They help us.
We love him.
That's why we voted for him.
Okay. Okay, that was so pathetic and wrong that it's actually funny. That's just wrong. Oh my God, Obama's stash. Free money. Where did it come from? I don't know. His stash. I wonder if this woman, the woman had got her free money. From Obama. Her Obama money. From his stash. I wonder if the lady who said, if I take care of him, he's gone, take care of me. She doesn't have to worry about paying her mortgage. Oh, and now another thing comes to mind when I recall a black woman, an older, elderly woman who met Barack Obama on the campaign trail. No, he just won the presidency and he went to Florida. And he went to shake an elderly black woman's hand and she said words to the effect that this has been a long time coming and she never thought she'd see this day and, you know, all that. And she went on to ask President Obama for a new house. In a nice, fine kitchen. And she wanted it for free. She didn't ask. She just wanted a new house and a new kitchen. And she swore up and down. I don't know if she got it or not. I'll have to follow up. But I suspect that she didn't get that nice, new, fine house and that fine kitchen. Now, I'm hearing complaints from some black folks suggesting that Obama hasn't done enough to address unemployment in general, but youth unemployment specifically, which in the white community is 23.2%, and in the black community, it's 39.9%. Mr. Obama has also cynically divided the country on class lines. Shameless. He has taken to playing the populist card time and time again. He bashes Wall Street, the insurance companies, health insurers, whenever it's convenient to do so, to advance his agenda. Yet he has been eager to accept campaign contributions and negotiate with these very same banks and corporations behind closed doors. Two-faced? In order to advance his political agenda, he sounds just like a common, trashy politician to me. And finally, President Obama has exacerbated partisan division. He's made it clear that he intends to demonize the Republicans. And even still, George W. Bush, the Democratic National Committee, released a video recently in which the president directly addressed his divide and conquer strategy with an appeal to young people, African Americans, Latinos, and women who powered his victory in 2008 to stand together. No mention of white folks and Asians and Muslims and other folks. Because it's my opinion, there's not enough African Americans, Latinos, and women who are going to support him. Not this time around. In all seriousness, President Obama's divisive approach to governance has weakened this country. And as people, as a people, he's weakened us. And he's paralyzed our political culture. And meanwhile, what more, you ask? The Republican leadership has failed to put forth an agenda that is more positive, unifying, and inclusive. We're stronger when we debate issues and purpose. And we're all weaker when we divide by race and class. We'll pay a price for this type of politics, and Obama will definitely pay a price. Of that, there is no doubt, none. Tomorrow we're going to talk about King Obama. An article in the Daily Caller by Wayne Root entitled King Obama. I'll give you a little brief, a little bit of it here. It says, "It's funny how life works. Even when I agree with Barack Obama, I'm still offended by his big brother attitude and nanny state tactics. Obama's actions remind me of a dictator who thinks he knows better than you or me. Last week, President Obama erased any doubt that he sees himself as a king rather than the elected servant of the American people. Obama declared he would not defend a law passed by Congress. Passed by the Congress of the United States, he would not defend the law." And that's just a little bit of what the article states. We'll get into more tomorrow. But I just want to say this. Let me just throw this out there. If Obama will not defend the law of the land, is there any doubt that he might decide that he won't uphold laws? That perhaps he'll state that, well, there are some aspects of the Constitution that he doesn't find constitutional, so he's just not going to bother with it. Free speech, you know, it sounds unreasonable. Oh, and that whole thing about two-term, man, me and Holder, well, we talked about that. This is Obama talking to his buddy Holder. Eric and I, Holder and I, we talked about this over lunch today, and we decided that that whole thing about, you know, two terms, it's unreasonable. Roosevelt served 3 or 4. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and just, you know, never mind that. We find that to be unlawful and unreasonable and, you know, just not defensible. What more? Can we trust this guy to do what's right and abide by the Constitution of the United States of America? I say no. And I say that because we cannot trust the President of the United States to adhere to the Constitution of the United States and uphold the laws of the land, that he is not fit to be President of the United States. He's got to go. And when I say he's got to go sooner than 2012. Because if he's not going to abide by the laws of this country, and there are certain laws that he's just going to turn his head about, he's just going to say, well, no. I think that's unreasonable. I'm not going to do that. Then he's become a danger to this country, a danger to democracy. He has become a danger to everything that we hold dear and sacred to this country. He is now a liability. And I think impeachment is in order here. Now, I don't like the man. You know it, and I know it. I mean, I've made no secret of it. But I was dead set on just saying, okay, well, we'll ride this storm out. We've had bad presidents before. We've had socialist presidents before, Woodrow Wilson being the worst. We'll ride this storm out. The American people will see this clown for what he is. And in 2012, he'll be gone. And he'll take his last Air Force One ride back to Chicago. Or wherever the hell he's going. And that'll be the end of that. And we'll just chalk this up to a Jack Johnson moment. But no, not anymore. Because if this dude is not going to uphold the laws of the land here in the United States of America and decide which laws he will or will not defend or abide by, he's got to go. Hell of a lot sooner than 2012. And I've been hearing rumbles and rumors that somebody is going to bring up impeachment. It's already been talked about. Newt brought it out of the woodwork. And several other sitting Republicans, senator and congressman. Because malfeasance is what I'm talking about. Dude is not doing his job. Any place else in this great nation, if you're out golfing and camping and hanging out and having big old parties in the White House, he's got another party scheduled in the White House. So while the whole world is burning, while there's fighting going on in states, while folks are being dragged out by their feet, President Obama is going to host a party for the Chicago Bulls, a Chicago Bulls basketball party at the White House. What an idiot. So, what we have here is a guy who is laying down on the job. And just one more thing about this whole black thing. Because there's so many black folks who are so proud to have the first black president of the United States of America in the White House. How proud are you, black folk? Because it seems to me that Barack Obama, although he speaks well and articulates and enunciates and all of that, he's basically an empty suit and shiftless. And yeah, I'm going to say I said it. He's shiftless and lazy. Isn't that a stereotype? Haven't we been unfairly stereotyped over the years as being shiftless and lazy? Isn't it ironic that we have a black man in office who is president of the United States who seems to be not only inept, but shiftless and lazy? Does the guy put in a full day's work? Every couple of weeks, he's having a party at the White House. He's out on the golf course at the most embarrassing times. He's gone on vacation too many times to list. He's completely disengaged from his actual job as president. He's yet to meet with several members of his own cabinet. Aren't they like working right there in the building? So if he's supposed to be this wonderful black man role model, it's just not working out. Because he's not the hardest working man in show business, that's for sure. He's not the hardest working man anywhere. Now, folks say, well, the stress of the job, he really needs to get away as often as he can. The stress of what? He's waited on hand and foot. I've visited the White House numerous times. Guy doesn't have to do anything. And apparently he's not doing much of anything. Where is the stress of being president of the United States for this guy? He'd been known in the state Senate in Illinois as being shiftless and lazy. Either not showing up for votes in the state capitol or showing up late and voting present most of the time. In the Senate, on the national stage, same thing. In the presidency, now same thing. He's constantly late for his very rare news conferences. He's completely disengaged from the job. He seems bored by it. So what we have in office, black folk everywhere, is an embarrassment to black folk everywhere. Because we have a stereotype in office. A shiftless and lazy Negro. Yes, I have said it. Now, I'm going to close out the show. Because unlike my president, I got a lot of stuff to do. And I'm going to be up most of the night. Wow, it's been great. Thank everyone for listening. Thank you, Tesla, and all the guests in the room, folks who are listening on their computers. And all the other things they use to listen on, I suppose. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening, and I'll see you all again. Could we start again? Please.
You've made your point now. You've even got a pistol. message home before it gets too frightening. We ought to call a halt. So could we start again, please?
I'd be living to see you, dying to see you, but it shouldn't be like this. This was unexpected. What do I do now? Could we start again, please?
Could we start again, please?
I think you've made your point.